Hey ladies, so bear with me because it's the first time I've given the topic, so I try to present it in a way which makes sense to me, but hopefully it'll make sense to you also. So we know there's a mitzvah of the Torah. The Torah gives a mitzvah of Hafreshes Chalo in Parshas Korach, in Parshas Shlach, I'm sorry. And the Torah says when we come into Eretz Yisrael, when Klai Yisrael comes into Eretz Yisrael and they make a dough, which is equivalent of the amount of the that they ate in the midbar, so you have a responsibility to take off a part of it and give it to the kohen, give a truma to the kohen. So the mitzvah of the Torah has three elements in it, or four elements in it. It has to be in Eretz Yisrael. It has to be when you come into Eretz Yisrael, you meaning all of Klal Yisrael. So it has to be the majority of Klal Yisrael is there present in Eretz Yisrael. The amount of dough is equivalent to the amount of that you make, which is equivalent to the amount which Klal Yisrael ate in the midbar, which is equivalent to the mon. And it says milechem oritz, so it has to be one of the five species. So those are the of grain. So those are the requirements of the Torah. We don't have the first two we're missing, and here in Chutzarts we're missing for sure two of them. We're not in Eretz Yisrael, and the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael is not in Eretz Yisrael. Even in Eretz Yisrael nowadays, Rebbe of Klal Yisrael is not in Eretz. We don't have all of Klal Yisrael back, so it's going to be the Rabbanan. So the mitzvah of challah which we have nowadays is the Rabbanan. That being said, the mitzvah of the Rabbanan in Eretz Yisrael and the mitzvah of the Rabbanan and outside of Eretz Yisrael are different. So we're going to be basically focusing on the lachas of challah for outside of Eretz Yisrael. So when you go to Eretz Yisrael, you have to make sure you get a shear for how to do it in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. There are some differences in halacha. Okay. The Torah says it has to be an isa which belongs to a Jew. So the isa which belongs, it would be isa which belongs to a non-Jew. In case you'd have a bakery which belongs to a non-Jew, even though the workers are Jewish, and the Jews are making the dough, but there'd be no chiyuv of challah because the dough belongs to a non-Jew. It has to be isas Yisrael. A dough which belongs to more than one individual is chayiv, but we'll see along, we'll discuss the issues later on of division. Division becomes an issue when we talk about the laws of division. It's important to know that the challah which is separated is prohibited. The challah of the Torah and the challah which we have is prohibited to eat from it. The challah in Eretz Yisrael, you cannot eat from it till you take off the challah. And the challah which you separate cannot be eaten by a non-kayin. It cannot be eaten by a kayin which is tomei. The one exception which we have, we'll talk about, there's a case of a challah which is separated on Yom Tov. What to do with a case of challah separated on Yom Tov? In case you make a dough, you'd make a dough on Yom Tov. It's not very common nowadays, but halachically a person can make a dough, bake bread, make a cake on Yom Tov. So there's a question that what to do with halachas of tumah for kahanim nowadays. We assume all kahanim are tamei. We're all tamei. So in Eretz Yisrael, for sure that the challah of Eretz Yisrael, the kahanim cannot eat it. Okay. Just an interesting point is that this is not really relevant. So I would give you an idea of what this is about. When the kahanim were tor, when the kahanim were tor and the kahanim were eating it, so they'd make a bracha of asher kiddushanu b'kedushasai shel Aharon v'tzivanu lechol truma. And that's the bracha they would make. So the same bracha they make when they duchen asher kiddushanu b'kedushasai shel Aharon v'tzivanu lebrechas amo yisrael be'avo. So they add in that they're eating it based on the kedusha which they have. So that's something which would be would happen b'zman the kahanim are eating from it. Okay.
They say hamotzi
actually first, like the same way we do, like if I, let's say the night of the seder we say hamotzi, then a shekshom b'sal b'tzivonu alachilas matzah, and then we would eat it. So they would say hamotzi, and then the bracha of asher kedushanu b'kedushasai shel Aharon. Okay, how much has to be given? So in the time of the Kohanim we're eating, so there was a certain amount that had to be given because the Chazal wanted that the Kohanim should get a certain amount. I mean, the Torah does not give an amount. So Chazal came along and gave a measure that we wanted you to give, because part of the idea was to give the Kohanim. Kohanim should have what to eat from it. Nowadays we're not giving to the Kohanim, and therefore the minig is to take a kazayas. The minig is to take a kazayas, and the kazayas is then, because we're going to burn it anyway, so Mikra then really, even if you take less of the kazayas, it's still valid. So a person took off a piece which is less of the kazayas, it's a valid hafrasha. But the minig is to take off, the Ramah says the minig is to take a kazayas.
Yes. Kazayas
is
basically a fistful.
A fistful is fine. Yeah. The rule of thumb for a kazayas is just as relevant whenever you talk about the size of a kazayas. The rule of thumb for a kazayas is if you picture a bakery loaf of rye bread, 2-pound rye, take a slice from the middle of the loaf, cut it in half. That's a kazayas.
In half.
In half. That's a kazayas. And the full piece is the size of a kebaya. Kebaya is those two is two kazayas in worth. So whenever you talk about kazayas, that's your picturing. You have to eat a kazayas to say bracha chor. No, that's what you're picturing. That's pretty clear to everybody, that picture. Okay, that's the rule of thumb to remember for kazayas. It's not such a big piece. Okay, we'll talk about what you do with it. At the end. Okay, so now, so the mitzvah is, it only applies to the five different species of grain. If a person made a dough which combined out of different types of...
I'm sorry. I'm trying to turn it off. That's what I'm trying to
do. makes a dough out of the different types of species together and they add up to the correct amount, we'll see what the correct amount is a little later in the shiur. So that's also a valid dough. So... You mix together some oat flour and some rye flour, and you make this combination together. That's definitely combines together. A person mixes some wheat flour, etc., with some oats, and makes this interesting concoction. As long as it has the full amount, that is a valid dough to be chayv in the mitzvah of challah. We will talk about there's a concept of a case where you made separate doughs, and each one is less than the amount, but you're going to combine them together to get the full amount to be have the mitzvah challah. So there is a differentiation in halacha between what types of dough they are. So we'll discuss exactly what that is a little bit later on. But again, most of you are familiar with that idea: a case where your dough is not a full amount, and you have one dough. Your person makes a challah dough, and person makes a cake, a yeast cake dough. And both, each one is half of a shear. There are scenarios where you're going to bring them together and be chayv in the mitzvah challah. We'll talk about how that is later on this year. So if one dough is made out of a wheat dough, one dough is made out of a rye dough, there's no, you cannot do that. They do not combine together. Okay, so in that situation, we differentiate between what's combining with what. So wheat only combines with spelt. If you make a spelt dough and a wheat dough, that would combine. A barley dough combines with rye or with oats, and spelt combines with anything. But not such a common issue to do that. Okay, in that situation, let's say that's but maybe a more relevant situation is a person has a few doughs and they want to take challah. You can really take a challah from one dough for all of the doughs which are there. If they're brought together, we'll talk about how to do that. You can't use ketan for the other mina. So I can't take from my wheat dough for the other types which are there also. But in a case where they're mixed together into one big dough, even though it's different types of species, that is a valid combination. Okay, so the type of material which we're talking about is the five species. What type of dough are you making? So the first step is, so what are the materials is one of the five species. You're making it into a dough. What type of dough are we talking about? So the halacha, we differentiate between two types of dough. What's really a dough and a batter. It's a better way of saying it. We differentiate between a dough and a batter. The mitzvah, ikra mitzvah of halachically is lechem. Lechem always was a dough. So a person makes a dough, as soon as he makes the dough, or she makes the dough. So once the dough is made, you're chayv in the mitzvah of a fresh eschal. If a person makes a batter, there's no mitzvah of a fresh eschal on batter. It's pourable. It's liquidy. There's no mitzvah. It's not a dough. However, if you take that batter and then you bake it, and it gets a consistency which becomes somewhat bread-like afterwards, a cake becomes somewhat bread-like. That's why we talk about cake being possible bekistin after it's baked, even though it's set it out as a batter. Once it's been baked afterwards, it will be chayv in the mitzvah. If there was, the amount was the correct amount, it would be chayv in the mitzvah of a fresh eschal. So a person making a very large sheet cake, potentially you could have a situation where you'd be hitting maybe the amount which would be chayv. If a person makes a batter and then does not bake it at the end, they boil it, they fry it, so you make a donut, a cake type of a donut, as opposed to a yeast donut. So a cake donut, it starts out with a batter, and you fry it in deep fried in oil, so it's not going to be chayav and chal. Even if you make a large amount of donuts, you're having a party, you bash for 40 people, and you're making all these donuts, but if they're batter donuts, not cake donuts, not dough donuts, so even not, since it started out as a batter and you ended up boiling it in oil, which is not considered baking, so it's not going to be chayav. Baking it on a pan without oil or just with a minimal amount of oil that it should not burn would be considered baking. This is relevant, just maybe a side tangent, this is relevant to pancakes. A person makes pancakes, you put a little bit about a little amount of oil, that's considered bread. It's possible to kiss them. But that's relevant, it has the lochas of kaviyah suda. If a person would eat, same way, if you eat too much pizza, you have to wash. A person decides to have a lot of pancakes, it would be the same thing. Even though it was never baked in an oven, it was just baked on a frying pan, but you just put a minimal amount of oil there, that's considered halachim, that's considered baking. So now it's considered a bread-like consistency. If it's a very, very thin type of thing, like a wafer, so that has no halachim of a bread consistency at all. But a pancake has some level of, some cake-like consistency, so that's why it's called a pancake, not a pan wafer. So it's considered a cake, so the cake is considered like bread in regards to the halacha of kaviyah suda. It's also be considered like bread in regards to the halacha. Now, if nobody's making a pancake, which is large enough, or enough pancake that you have a shir challah, this wouldn't be very common unless you're in a commercial setting, but theoretically that would be relevant, and that a person would do that. Okay, let's say a person makes a donut dough, and they're planning to then fry it in oil, boil it in oil. But it's a dough. It's starting out as a dough. So starting out as a thick consistency, it's not a batter, it's not portable, but it wasn't. You were not planning to bake it at the end. So a person made a dough with a plan afterwards to cook it. That's machloikus and halacha. So in that situation, you take it out. Even if you have a full shear, you would bake off rasha without a bracha. So a person is making a large amount of those type of donuts. So you would make a frosh in that situation, even though you have a full amount of dough, of flour, you have the right amount of flour to be chayiv, but you would still be mafresh without a bracha. There is one way to get around that, in that situation, is if you take any of that whole big dough that you made, which is going to be a donut dough, and you took a little bit and you actually baked it, even one little piece. So once you bake that one little piece, and then you're mafresh kala with a bracha, because something of this dough was baked. But if none of the dough at all was baked, it's always just going to be boiled in water or in oil. Person makes if you make your own lakshin, person makes their own noodles. Right, so it's a thick dough. It's a dough type of it. It's a very thick type of a dough. But you never cook, you never bake it. It's sun dried usually, and then it's boiled. That's the process. The process is you don't use really heat to bake it. So in that situation, you would not. It would be this machloikus whether it's chayiv or not, and you would be mafresh without a bracha. Let's say a person made a dough with intention to bake it, and then changed their mind and decided to boil it. But since when they made the dough, they're planning to bake it, then it's chayiv with hafrosha with a bracha. So if it's a batter and it ends up being baked, it's going to be chayiv once it's baked. If it's a dough and you plan to bake it, even though you ended up boiling it, it's chayiv because it was a dough. It was a dough which you planned to boil up front. That was your original plan, and that's what you did. So it's your mafresh without a bracha. And in a case where you took some of that and you actually did bake some of that, and that was your plan originally, so you'd be mafresh for the bracha. If you do use no water, so we have the ingredients is the hemeni dagan. So now we're going to be adding. We have to. What type of liquid are we talking about? So you talked about what the species of the grain. We spoke about what you're going to do to it. Okay, what type of liquid did you add to it? So we know in halacha that there are seven species. That's not the right word for it. There's seven liquids which halachically have a status of liquid in the Torah. Olive oil, wine, water, dew, honey from bees, milk. Let's see if I think I wrote them. Let's see, yod shechatam, yayin, dvash, shemen, cholov, tal, mayim, and blood. Okay, but we don't have time to use blood in our food. Right. Okay. So those liquids have a status of a liquid. If a person makes a dough, this dough is going to be chayiv in the fresh style. If a person takes fruit juice, only fruit juice, so there's no water at all used in it, so the halacha is we're mafresh without a bracha. So a person would have, let's say, only use apple juice. If it's apple juice which is reconstituted, it was concentrated, and then water was reconstituted, that's water. We don't say that water is just apple juice again. That's water. But if there's no water at all, it was just straight apple juice, original apple juice, or a person used the orange juice or whatever, something like that for the recipe, just calls for those type of things. So then, even if you have the amount of flour, which would be chayiv, but you're mafresh without a bracha. The Shulchan Aruch says, we do not want you to ever make that, be in that situation, though. Because the same way you make this big dough with just apple juice, so your mouth is out of bracha. What do you do with it? So well, you say, well, you burn it. Why do you burn it? Because it's tomei. Well, the look is that these, if you don't have one of the seven types of liquid or make it consider a liquid, the Torah says it doesn't accept tumah until one of those liquids have been on it. So it's not mukshar in halacha to be mekabel tumah. It's not tameh. You're not allowed to burn it. You can't burn it because you can't burn something which is holy, which isn't tameh. So you have kala, which is not tameh. So you can't burn it. What are you supposed to do with it? So you give it to a kayan, but the kayan is tameh. He can't eat it. So therefore, in order not to get into that situation, halacha says you should not make a dough with just fruit juice, which is going to be the sheer chalva. What do we do that situation when you actually did it? I don't mean, for example, I don't know what they do with it. You buy in New York, they have what they call the mezonos roll, which isn't the mezonos roll, but let's say you believe that it's called the mezonos roll, right? So one of their arguments why it's called, because it's made with fruit juice. There's no water in it. Well, obviously, they're not making less than a shir challah in that situation. Like they're not just making, like 2 pounds of flour's worth. I mean, it's a commercial setting. They're making hundreds and hundreds of. So how are they doing it? So what are they doing with the challah afterwards? So Allah really would prefer not to do that. So what do you do with it, Lamaisa? So you give it to, in Chutz La'aretz, you give it to a kohen, which is a katan. So because halacha says that if he's tummy from a tumah through which he gets through touching, if there's no tumah which ever came to the person through physically coming out of the body of the person, he can eat. The only problem is you have to know for sure he's a kohen, because only a kohen can eat it. So if you have a clear yichus, one of our problems, we don't have a clear yichus who's a kohen nowadays. So do we rely on the for the most of the issues of the Kohanim nowadays, we rely on that. When Mashiach comes, we're going to have to do a greater beer of what's considered a Kohen. But somebody which is halach, which was assumed to be a Kohen, for Chalas Chutz La'aretz, who came a Samech on that. So, famous, you know, the Rappaports have they have a clear Yichus. Rappaports have a Yichus brief which takes them back to Aron HaKohen. They have a The Shach was a Rappaport. That was his last name. The Shach was a Shapsi Akoyan Rappaport, and he had a letter which had all the names of all the generations back to Aaron Akoyan. So anybody's Rappaport, you know, the Chassidish Rappaports, Lizard's Rappaports, all the Rappaports go back to the Shach, and we know that they're kind of Miuchosim. Just a side story: the Vilna Goyin was a Bechor. So he was, of course, he wanted to make sure that he got the mitzvah pinyan ben was done properly. So his father did the mitzvah pinyan ben, but he was very careful. So he wasn't sure that maybe the person wasn't really a kohen. So every time he met a kohen, he would do pinyan ben till he met a Rappaport. He met a Rappaport, did pinyan ben, he stopped after that. So we have a yichus from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon accepted the yichus of the Rappaport as a valid kohen. So if you have a Rappaport available, that's relevant. You know, people ask if you have an option. Well, who are you doing? Your opinion of Ben with, we have a Rappaport available, so it's probably preferred to do it with a Rappaport. So that's one case where you would have this issue of what would you do with it. In case you didn't make that shear, you would give it to a kohen which is Torah from Tumas Aguf, and that's a Ramah, a Chalas Chutz La'aretz. Okay. So we've talked about the one ingredient, which is the flour, the other ingredient, which is the liquid. We spoke about what type of dough we're making, how much. So the question which everybody wants to know is how much. Now, it's a funny, we give the amounts by weight. Even though really the amount should be by value. Really the amount should be, you know, you're looking at what was in the Midbar, we're comparing it to the east of the Midbar, the money came by volume. The Torah gave us a measurement. It was a volume measurement, not a weight measurement. So really, theoretically, the shurim should, but the ready time of the Gemara, the more he already gives the shurim by weight, because the volume changes, so the Gemara already gave the measurements by weight. So this is one of the areas which where the halacha, for the expediency of giving it a usable type of measurements, they moved it to the measurements of weight. Let me correct that. The Gemara actually gives measurements by volume, but we don't have the exact volume. We use the measurements of weight. So how much? There's two shear which are given in halacha. There's a shear. This goes back to the question which we need to know. The measurements which we have, the kazayas, kebeya, etc. Those are measurements. Are these the same size as what it was at the time of Chazal? And we don't know. There's a Gemara which seems to create a doubt in our minds in defining that. The Gemara actually is talking about the size of a mikvah, and the Gemara gives two ways to measure the size of a mikvah. And the two measurements which the Gemara gives, one of them is based on the system of measuring it by linear measurements. It's so many feet by so many feet by so many feet, that type of measurement. It gives it in Amos, which that's the measurement the Gemara gives. The other measurement the Gemara gives is a measurement based on the volumes that the Gemara uses. So many saw, which is, you have a kazayas, you have a kebeya, you have a revius, you have a lug, you have a kav, you have a saw, so many saw. So those are the two measurements that the Gemara gives. And the two measurements don't fit. When you work them down, the two measurements don't fit. So because of this problem, the theory which was developed by the Nadi Behuda was that it must be one or the other is different. What we have nowadays, the measurements which we have don't fit with those measurements. One of them must have changed. See, he says, out of the two, he feels that the one which would change would be the size of the kebeya. The size of the volume measurements which the Gemara uses have changed from the time of the Gemara to nowadays. Nowadays they're smaller. So that means when we are talking about a measure which is a volume, which of the more we're talking about, it has to be we need a larger amount. That's the theory which comes up. So Mishnah Berurah comes along and says, we're dealing with the Rabbanans. You can be maker with the smaller amount. You're dealing with the Raisas, you have to be maker with the larger amount. So applying that concept to the world of Challah, we say when you get a certain amount, we assume that you should take off without a bracha. because maybe this is already the mount you're chayiv, let's do the mitzvah. But make a bracha, it's a suffix bracha. You get to a certain amount. You know, this is clearly, there's no question, this is the amount that you definitely are chayiv, and therefore you can take it off with a bracha. So that's why we have two measurements. Within that world of two measurements, of course, there's disagreement in the world of, you know, two Jews, three opinions. How do you measure those measurements? That itself is a machlokes. Halacha l'maisa. The Chazon Ish says that when you have 2.6 pounds of flour, so you take off without a bracha. And when you have 4.96, basically you have five pounds of flour, you take off with a bracha. That's the shurim that the Chazon Ish gives. So when you hit, basically if you buy a 5 pound bag of flour, you use half of the bag, so you're going to take off without a bracha. You use the full bag, you're going to take off with a bracha. Did I say that right? Yeah, I think that's right. What? Now, I think my wife tells me that she used to do it by cups, 8 cups. I think a bag of flour is supposed to be 20 cups. It's not really 20 cups because it's settled. Usually ends up closer to 18 cups, I think, is what the standard bag of flour ends up being. And so she got her masara, she told me, was 8 cups is without a bracha and 16 cups is with a bracha. That's the masara she got from Re'enimer, I think, way back when. So that's pretty close to the numbers we're talking about. She does it with a scale. Not for the halacha part, for the baking part. Okay. Yes.
I usually use about 5 cups, so that's less than even half a bag.
So then there's no question, you're not going to take a challah at all.
So you don't take it at all.
Correct. The only question which is relevant is when it's in a case, we'll see as we go along, if you start combining it with other things, that will happen over there. If a person made a dough which is the right size, and then you divided it up into smaller doughs, you know, so I made this big recipe, and I said, I'm going to put it halfway to bake a different time, and, you know, or divide it into 4 different containers, bake some this week, some next week, some the following, etc. You're still chayv and chalo, because the time when you made the dough, it's chayv and chalo. However, a person that's talking about they're all belonging, they're all being used by you. In the case of a person, let's say a teacher, you know, they have a project that they come to the school and everybody makes their own dough, and that each person takes their own dough, they make this big dough for all the kids in the class, and everybody takes their dough home and they're going to bake it. So there it was made to divide each one of those portions of the child's taking home was less than the shir challah. So it was made originally to be divided up into separate individual people, and no person is going to get up with the shir challah. It's not chayv and chalav. So that situation where a person will teach her to do that. Well, I'll teach her to them how to do the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah. She cannot do it with a bracha. She really can't do it without a bracha. But she can just say, this is what we do. If we would be chayv and chal, this is what we would do. Because it's not really chal. There's no key of chal in the situation. Because you're making it with intention to divide it up into smaller items. If you're planning to divide it up after it's baked, so it means it's maintained, it's one, you know, it's, you know, big dough, you bake, you know, X amount of loaves, little rolls, whatever it is, and everybody gets their roll afterwards, then it is chayv. So they're going to bake it in school, so then there would be chayv and chal. They're going to take it a dough home and bake it at home, it would not be chayv. Let's say a person... So the situation was something along those lines. You had two women, you know, two neighbors made this deal. They said, you know, listen, 1 week you make the dough, 1 week I make the dough. You know, each week we'll split the dough, you know, right? It's, you know, why not? Sounds like a great idea. Take turns dividing up the dough. So that'd be the same halacha. Since you made it to divide up amongst two people, it's just not going to be chai. If each one afterwards is less than the shear, it's not chai ben chalo. Okay, now Mrs. So and so takes home. So you know what? I need a little bit more extra this week. She adds some more. So she adds, you know, adds some more flour, adds a little more water, mixes it in, and catches up, and the dough becomes larger. Now it's a shir challah. It's still positive, right? Because only shir challah in conjunction with what was there before and what's been added now, and the part which was there before was positive. So it remains positive. If the amount that she had was so much that it's chayav in its own, that's a different story. So then it's chayav in its own, but that'd be quite a strange scenario, right? All of a sudden, oh, I need another 5 pounds of flour. Just like I forgot about that. You know, that would be pretty strange. But you know, she wants to add a little more, so that situation would remain potter. Okay. Let's say a person, you know, is dealing with challah. They never really, they're not so comfortable with having my first challah. They never did my first challah before. So yeah, I have a good idea, even making a large amount, I'll just make it in two separate shifts. Instead of making one big dough, which I normally would do, I'll make it in two separate shifts. That's why I won't be chayav on challah. We don't have to deal with the problems of dealing with challah. So the Shulchan Aruch says you should not do that. You should not actively remove yourself from the mitzvah of challah. But if you don't need that much. Obviously, you don't need that much. There is brought down in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shabbos. There's the beginning of Mamash, the first siman of Hilchos Shabbos. It says it's a minig Yisrael that women bake bread on Erev Shabbos, but dafka to do a shir challah. Mishnah Berurah says therefore they'll have opportunity to be in the mitzvah of Hafreshes Challah. Why specifically in Erev Shabbos? So why is challah one of the ladies' mitzvahs? We know there are three mitzvahs which the women specifically are given over to the women. Theoretically, really, the mitzvah of challah first of all belongs to the man. It's my challah. I bring home the dough, so I own the dough. You know, right? It's my challah. So it's my mitzvah. It belongs to me. I should do hafrosha. So why does the woman do it? So Chazal says it's one of the three mitzvahs which are given into the responsibility of the woman. So Chazal has interesting language. They say that since Adam Rishon was the challah shel olam, he was the first challah, right? Made him into a dough. The pasuk says, right? Took water and the adama, made it into a dough, and the Bereshit made that into Adam Rishon. He was the first hafrasha. There was the world, and the first hafrasha, which was of kedusha, was that Bereshit took a piece of it off and made it into Adam Rishon. And Adam Rishon was supposed to live forever, but he didn't live. He doesn't live forever because of a chait. So Chazal say he of the chalosah shel olam, so she should do the mitzvah of giving mafresh challah to be masakan that. Erev Shabbos is this man when that took place, and Erev Shabbos is also this man which women do the mitzvah of Lachas Neiris. So we want to, in conjunction with Shabbos, have women to do mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah. So that if a person has an opportunity, is able to do that, it is actually proper to do bedafka do a shir. But definitely in case a person needs to do a shir, bedafka do it in smaller amounts, not to do the shir is wrong. Okay. There's a concept in Halacha called Tzirif Kli. There's a concept of halacha called combining. So there's two ways in halacha which you can combine. So let's say I have various doughs. I made a dough of this. It's not a full amount. It's not an amount which is chayav and challah, or not an amount which is chayav with a bracha. I made another dough which is not an amount which is chayav with a bracha. I want to be mafresh of both together. I mean, say it with a bracha, because combined together, they're both amount which would be chayav. So there are two ways in halacha how you can make that combination. And if you do, you're chayiv to be mafresh or mafresh with a bracha, depending on the scenario. The first way the halacha says in the case where they're touching, you put the doughs together and the doughs are touching each other. So the doughs are touching. You put on a flat surface. There's no kli there. Just the fact that the doughs are touching together, and together they have a shear. So they become one. So now the full they're your chayav and a challah with a bracha. However, when we say touching, what does touching mean? Touching means just a little touch. Touching means that they're touching significantly enough when you pull one little piece that the other one comes with. Like so, they're really touching tightly to the point when you pull from one dough, the other dough, some other dough will come together. So that's mamash becomes one big dough. So in that situation, so they are starved together, and it will be chayav in the shir chayav. That's not so common. There's another common way which we do it. So it's known in halacha, it's called sirif kli. If you put all the doughs together in one kli, one basket, or one container, So that makes them one, even though they're not touching. So they're going to be chayiv. Now, the tzir of kli actually works even after it's baked. So, for example, we don't, just a case which is relevant to, more to men's territory than women's territory, is baking matzahs. Baking matzahs, we do not do a fresh challah during the baking in the dough process. We don't want this dough over here, which is challah, which you can't eat. You have to bake, you have to burn it. You don't want it being dealt with while you're busy getting the matzahs done as quickly as possible. So we do a fresh afterwards. So what do? So you take, there's a big, most places do it, there's a big container on wheels, like a type of a cart. It's actually a wire cart, and you put all the matzahs that come out into this cart, standing sideways. And you put in a few hundred matzahs, and then after that's all finished, they take off challah from those matzahs, and they throw it and they burn it. So once it's in the same kli together, even though they're all baked already, so they're mitzarev. The case of the poskim bring this up at home, which they raise the question. Rosh Shurmach writes in his sefer, the case of persons receives shalach manas. So and so sent them some cookies, and so and so sent them some cake. You know, and so you make this big container and you put it in the freezer. You know, and it has cookies and cake, etc. Each one wasn't a shir challah, but together this big container now is full of, it's a shir challah. So theoretically, that now it's going to be chayiv and challah, because it's one big container, even though each one wasn't chayiv. And now they came all together into your big container. You said you made this nice big tray, and you had cookies and cake, and then all together it looks beautiful. You put it into the freezer. Well, that's mitzdarif to a shir challah. So that's a scenario which would be relevant, sir of kli. It's not so relevant, and I'll tell you why it's not so relevant. I'm not sure what they, you know, I think. And maybe he's picturing the Yerushalayim or Shalach Manas, and maybe it's quite different than our American Shalach Manas. And I'll tell you why. It's to meet that criteria, to be actually be chayiv, there are a few details that you have to read to get it together to be considered a chayiv. Okay. Number one, the Shulchan Aruch says that the kli has to have it has to have a toich to it. It has to hold something. It has to be something. It has like a rim. It's going to hold something. So when they raise one of the questions, they want to know what it'll be if you put it on the freezer shelf without any container, right? Just in, so it's not clear that's considered it has a toich. So some say, well, the whole refrigerator counts as the kli. The whole freezer counts as one big kli, which that might be true. Okay, in that situation. It has to be in a case where we're talking either it's a dough or after it's baked, so either the dough or the loaf. If it's sticking out outside of one of them is like a raised above. So if this is the height of this is your thing, here's the height of the rim, and there's like one loaf sitting on top, that doesn't count. It has to be in the kli. It has to be inside of that teich. There is an opinion which says that if it sticks out, it is mitzarev, but definitely better not to get involved in that. Some say that you need that they actually to be touching. Shabura says that you definitely should do that, and they should be touching each other. If they're in separate kalim, and this is what I think, which is it's only true unless they're all considered one big kli. So here's your refrigerator situation, your freezer situation. We put it in bags. So you put your cookies in bags, and you put this in bags, each thing in a different bag. So Rosh Shurmur says, you know, you stick in the freezer. So I don't know what he was picturing exactly, but I can't imagine the American balabasta just puts it in the freezer. She puts it into a Ziploc bag or whatever. So it's in a separate kli. See, now, the only thing is they're all, if you count the freezer as one big kli, so we pass, if you put it in a separate kalim, and each one's in this big kli together, that's also considered serum. But it's not clear that you would consider the freezer itself as one big kli. It's only true if it all belongs to one person. So that's our scenario over here. But now they all belong to me. Now, but I think this is also relevant. If I would not want them to mix together, you know, I made a challah dough, and I made a cake dough, and yeast cake type of a dough, and I had cookies. I don't want my cookies and my challah to be the same thing. I want my challah to be challah and my cookies to be cookies. Right? So I want them to be distinct and separate. So that's true when they're dough, and that's true when they're afterwards also. So if I put all my matzahs together in one big container, it's all matzahs. You know, matzahs are matzahs. You know, but challahs are challahs, and kakash cake is kakash cake. never the twain shall meet, right? You know, it's two different things. So there's no din of sirach kli in that situation. If one is, so therefore the case where one is, we assume in halacha, if one of them has been flavored and one of them is not flavored, like ones you put all these different cinnamon, etc., etc., one is just plain dough, you want to keep them separate, so they're not mitzvah. So that's like, I don't, you know, I think at least in American Balabas, so that your cake is your cake and your cookies are your cookies and everything is distinct. I'm not sure what he was picturing, maybe like, you know, just it's cake and cake, you know, it's all the same stuff. Yeah.
What about a professional baker, a store baker, who does put things in a freezer uncovered?
But again, but he probably wants to keep them distinct. You know, yeah, each one.
What if he bakes 20 of the same cake?
Well, in a chayiv, he bakes 20 of the same cake, so that, and he puts them all together, that would be chayiv. Right? So even if they, each one by itself is not, but there'd be the serif over there. Now, you're probably familiar with the idea of doing serif with a sheet or with a towel. Right, putting a towel on top. We're getting these looks of yes, no. Like, okay, I just want to clarify that halacha, how to do it, but I guess it's not so familiar. Okay.
While it's rising, while it's in your pan.
Right. So, I mean, theoretically, let's say you made some doughs and you already made them into, you shaped them into challahs, and say, oh, I didn't take challah yet, so I need to put them together again. Right, to be mitzaref them, right? You know, it's all been in my big shissel, which holds five pounds of flour. And I made my big dough, and everything's wonderful. I already shaped the challahs and take a challah. I have to do a fresh challah. So, but each one's separate now, right? So I need to bring them together . So now I really want to correct that. Let's, in the case where you made that dough, and it was 5 pounds, and it's chayv and challah with a bracha, or it's 2.5 pounds, or 2.65 pounds, and it's chayv and challah without a bracha, it's chayv already. The fact that you separate it out doesn't take away, make it positive. But there's a separate halacha, which you're supposed to bring it all together when you do the hafrasha. It should be all together. But let's say you made two separate ones, you know, and you made one recipe of X amount of challahs, and it's not the shear, then you said, you know, let's do it some more. You made another recipe. Now they're all sitting on the table. If you bring them together as one, it'd be chayv and challah. So what do you do? So some people have this idea that you can just cover it with a towel. They're all covered with the towels. It's all one thing. That's not exactly correct, because we said it has to have a toif. It has to hold something inside. The case in halacha was a case you had a linen under it, which you folded up on top of it. So even though it's not a solid rim, that's considered the equivalent of being inside of a kli. That's what they were talking about, and that's sufficient. But if there's nothing on bottom, it's just putting this towel on top, that's not acceptable. It will not change this halacha.
So then what do you do? You take them apart, you take them out, and you squish them together.
Can't you bake them and then do it after?
So I'm getting ahead of myself.
Okay,
in other words, this is talking about there's a chiyuv to do challah. We'll get to the next question. Is when you have the chiyuv already, what's the right way to do it? That's the next step. Okay. In the time of the Gemara, they wanted the person to take off challah as early as possible because they wanted to ensure the remain tor. Nowadays, anyway, it comes to me anyway, so we're not worried about, you know, so we prefer that we should wait till the last moment of the process before taking off challah, because you want to get all of the flour in. So usually in the process of rolling it and shaping it, you add more flour, and that flour eventually gets absorbed in. So if you take off challah earlier in the process, so was that hafrosha, does that work for the flour which is added later on? So the answer is no. It doesn't. So now, usually it's not a problem, because the amount which is added later on itself is not a chiyuv, the amount which would be the chayiv. So, this amount is chayiv, I did. This little bit I added extra is not relevant. But theoretically, we'd rather not get involved in the situation, so we want to either wait till like we're finished with the process and then do it. This way, you, everything is included. Right? Or, theoretically, you can speak out, and the Shulchan Aruch says we should teach the women to do this. I never heard women do this. It says, you should speak out. The person says, when they're saying this is challah, I'm saying I'm including it for that flour which I'm going to add on later on. So this way, in case any flour is added later on, the afrash which you did now will work for that also. But you can't burn your challah until after you add that flour. If you burn it right away, so that doesn't work. Yes?
I use a bread maker, a bread machine.
Right.
So it takes an hour and a half for the process to finish making the dough.
Usually it's only 2 pounds in there.
Right.
Right, so it's not
but
sure.
But if I wanted to make two...
Right.
Two recipes so that I could put it together... So then I have one that's, you know, already finished, but let's say I shape it.
Right.
The other one comes out and it's not shaped. Can I put it all together? Is there...
Yeah, yeah, right. So you should put it on the same tray, so then you're good.
What if you have two 5 pounds?
Okay, that's where we're going next. Okay, there's a halacha when you do the hafrasha, whatever you're including in your hafrasha, that the chatchilah has to be all together. It has to be what's called mina mukaf, which means next to each other. So if I'm going to have 2 5-pound pounds and I want to do that, so I don't have to have them, I have to have them, they don't have to be touching, but they have to be together. They'll be right next to each other. So even if they're not in the same kli, even if they're not touching, but they should both be on the table together in front of you. They should both be there in front of you when you're doing it. Pidyevit, as long as they're in the same room, that's sufficient, right? But preferred should be that they be right there in front of you. So, in the scenario which we mentioned before, so we made a dough which was chayiv, then we shaped it into challah. So it doesn't lose its chiyuv because it was already chayiv once you made the dough. And the fact that you shaped it into challah doesn't take it off. But you want to do a frush on all of those challahs. So you want all the challahs there together with you when you do the hafrasha. So you should be have them. You don't have to put them into one kli because they're already chayiv. Putting them in kli is when the case it was potter, you want to make it chayiv. Here it's chayiv anyway. Your goal is that you do the mitzvah of doing the mitzvah of hafrasha's challah, taking this piece off for all this which is here. They should all be here when you do that hafrasha. So that's relevant in case you have 2 shurim, relevant when you had a shear which you divided up into different pieces, doughs, etc. So that applies over there. In a case where you had 2 doughs, one which is a shear, one which is not, and I'm afraid that eventually that amount which is not. Well, I'm going to add it onto something else, etc. So I want to make it one big unit, the mafresh and everything. So I bring them together on the table. I do, it's called, it's mina mukaf, they're just together. I do the afresh on one for the other, and that would also work. Those which I would not want to mix together, let's say I made 2 5-pound doughs, one was for challah, one was for kalkish cake, and I don't want to mix them together because they have different flavors. So I can also be mafresh on one for the other, but in that situation, there is an opinion which says that they should be touching. So, in case there's 2 sets of dough of the same thing, they have to be there in front of me. They don't have to touch. In case where it's different types of dough, and I would often want to keep them independent and distinct, so there they should be touching to make it into one. Then I can remember for one for both of them.
Or you
have
for each of them.
You have another.
Do I have a brachas? 2 separate brachas?
So in case where you're doing 2 afrashas, so you can make 1 bracha for both, as long as you don't talk in between. So you do, you can. You're supposed to make 1 bracha for both, as long as you don't talk in between.
There's no issue of baltashkas if you didn't have to do for both,
you
could have combined them?
I'm not that aware of. That's a tricky question. I'm not aware that...
Burning it.
What?
Try to burn it.
Right. I don't know. Okay. the mitzvah applies to the woman. Let's say the case where this I can ask somebody else to do the hafrasha for me if I'm not going to be around. So, you know, do me a favor, do the hafrasha for me. Even a situation where the Shulchan Aruch says that the person was not appointed to be the shliach to do it, but if the dough rises too much, the dough is going to it affects the flavor. There's a minig. We don't bake it until we do hafrasha. You know, chachil, we don't bake it until we do hafrasha. So the Shulchan Aruch, there was a case where the balabasta made the dough, and she left, and they had the Jewish servant there in the house, and she said the dough was getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. She realizes she has to bake it, but she can't bake it until you take off challah. But she wasn't appointed to be the shliach to take off the challah. So we say it's considered a schia, it's considered a schus for the woman to do the mitzvah of taking off the challah to save the dough. So she's allowed to take off that challah for her and then bake the dough. After you do that frasha, the Pesach Teshuvah says it's proper to stand when you do the mitzvah of frasha schala. You say Asher Kedusham Tzavet Tzivonu LaHafrish. There actually are three different versions of the nusach of the bracha. I think nowadays most people have a standard nusach, but the Shulchan Aruch's nusach is LaHafrish Truma. Second opinion it brings is LaHafrish Chala. The Ramah brings the opinion say LaHafrish Truma Chala. And nobody mentions the Hafrish Chalam in Yisra. It's not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, Mechaber, Ramah, Shach, or Taz. Nobody said, the Minig nowadays is the Hafrish Chalam in Yisra. So it's an interesting question in the Minig Yisra, why it's like that, but that has become the Minig to say the Hafrish Chalam in Yisra. Then there's Yirotz, and the people say afterwards, that's a beautiful Minig, to say the Yirotz and afterwards. So again, the Bracha should be said when you're standing. You can say it on many at the same time. After you do that, then you take a piece off and you say, this should be for, you take a piece off. So, the Shulchan Aruch does not mention the Harei Zuchala. How many people say over here say Harei Zuchala? Right? Okay. How many people don't say Harei Zuchala? Okay. So, the Shulchan Aruch does not mention that you have to say Harei Zuchala. So there is, you know, there's some people, they say the bracha, they take it off and they say Harei Zuchala, this is the chala. It's not required, it's a machlokes, whether it's required meeker, then it's not required. Once you've decided that's the chal, that's enough. You don't have to say it. There is an opinion which says possibly it's better not to say it. That's why some people have minig not to say it, but if you do say it, that's your minig, that's fine also. Person made baked already, and they realized that they had not taken off chal, so you can be mafresh chal after it's baked already. You can mafresh chala after it's baked together, but you have to get all of your everything that you're making mafresh on put together on the table. It was chayav already, so you don't need to make them touch, but they have to be there in front of you. Person forgot to be mafresh, and they baked already, and I had the situation, somebody came to me, it's Shabbos. They baked chalas for Shabbos, they forgot to be mafresh chala. Okay, so what do you do? It's chala, it's Shabbos, or you can't take off chala on Shabbos. On Yom Tov, you can't take off challah on Yom Tov either, unless you actually make the dough on Yom Tov. You make a fresh bread on Yom Tov, a fresh dough, so you take off challah on Yom Tov. Otherwise, you can't take it on Yom Tov either. So what can you do? So the answer is in Eretz Israel, you can't eat it. That's it. In Chutz La'aretz, Chazal made a kula that you're allowed to eat from the dough, you're allowed to eat from the bread, without taking off any challah. You leave over for after Shabbos, you have to make sure that you leave over part of this unit of bread that you made, enough that you can be mafresh challah after Shabbos and have something besides it. You'll have the challah and the leftover besides the challah. So if a shear is a kazayas, so one slice of challah is, let's say, more than a kazayas, so you leave over at least one slice of challah after Shabbos, you take the kazayas off, and the remaining part is the part which is, it has to be significant enough that that's noticeable, and you can do that. That's a special kula in Chalas Chutz La'aretz. It doesn't apply there to Israel. Okay, so now you've taken it off. What do you do with it? So you burn it. So the law says you should not burn it the same time you're baking your chalas. You say, well, I'm baking chalas anyway. The fire is going. Let's throw it to the bottom of the oven, etc. You should not bake it at the same time. That you're baking your chalas, because the chachila we do not. The challah is also to eat. So whatever smell, flavor it's giving off in the oven shouldn't go into your challah as the chachila. So we do not want you doing it at the same time. A person can burn it first and then bake the challahs afterwards, or a person can burn it afterwards. Either one is fine. A situation which comes up is a case of a person was mafrish challah, they put it to the side, they come back, and it's mixed back into the dough. One of the kids came along, did them a favor, you know, mixed it in. So now the lach is, what happens now? So challah, the shear for bittul challah, it can be bottle. The shear for bittul challah is quite large. It's a ratio of 1 to 100. So there's 100 times of the total dough greater than that piece of challah that you had to be mutter. It'll be bottle, and you can eat the whole thing. That's not the scenario. So what do you do in that situation? I've had this happen more than once. So in a case where the ratio was, we're in Chutz Lortz again. So in a case where the ratio, clearly the amount of dough was greater than the challah, you could add more to get to the amount of 100 to 1, and that would be make it mutter. So you can't do that. If it fell into 101, it's mutter. You can't add more and make it 101. In Chutz Lortz, you can add, once it's ripe, you can add more. But that's not, again, not a very common practical solution. So there is a lacha of being mater netter. The act of making something chal is a form of being mater something. So that's a form of a netter. The same way you can be mater and netter, you can be mater, you're a frosha chal. And it goes back to the state of being before a chal, which is tevel, which you can't eat. But you'll be mater chal again. So you need a bezin of three men. And they can be related. It's different, like not like regular bezin, which it's bezin for a Torah Siddur, does not. They can be related. You can do it at night time if necessary. And you say that the challah which I designated, I regret the fact that I designated it as challah. And had I realized that it would get mixed in, I would not have designated it. And they say that they say mutaloch, mutaloch, mutaloch. It's now back to square one, and you're mafrish challah again. Right. Now the question which comes up is. Is it a bracha of a tala? You made a bracha on the first half rasha. You make a bracha on the second time. So you made a bracha on the first half rasha. Well, again, it wasn't effective. So mikra din, it's not a problem because when you did it, it was a valid mitzvah. So you did a mitzvah properly. So there is one opinion which says maybe what you should do is like leave some of the stuff, some of it to the side, to count that first half rasha for that, and you know, but it's not necessary. So that situation, that's when you know, I've had this actually happen, it came twice in the last few months. Lady called me, I got mixed in, what do I do? I said, no problem, you got three men available. She has her husband and her son, and you know, and a neighbor, sit down and be mafrish netter, and that's an etzah for that. Okay, I think I covered everything I wanted to cover. I probably missed one or two things here along the way, but I'm going to cover everything I wanted to cover. Any questions? Yes.
Okay, so you said 8 cups is a half of a half a bag. Okay, so I'm using less than 8 cups. So that means that questions are, if I'm making this, the recipe has 5 cups of flour. So do I get a mitzvah for that if I make challah?
No. Oh. It has no effect at all. Okay. No effect. So. Yes.
So I might be a little bit confused about the whole freezer thing.
Okay.
But so I also use a bread machine. So I'm not taking challah each individual time I make challah.
Right.
But, like, I'm off in the summer now. So before I go back to work, and all the Yom Tovim are coming up, I might, but last week, make one batch at a time, and then have a lot of challah in my freezer. Is that an issue?
Right. So theoretically, that
one batch at a time.
So that in that situation, I think the best thing to do because of this question is bedafka, take them out, put them out on the table together, and be mafresh. Okay. You know, not a table. Sorry, correct that. On a tray or something. Put it on a cleat which would hold them, and then because on the table is not sufficient over there. But because of this question, maybe the freezer is considered one big unit. And they're not distinct. They're all chalva. They're all the same thing. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. I'm just looking over. So you said before with the batter, if once it's baked, there's a possibility that you have to take chalva.
So if it be the right amount.
So it's the same thing with the five.
Right. So it's 2.5 and the five. Right. So you make a large sheet cake. So theoretically, I mean, usually I don't know if you're getting that much flour in there, but you know, have to get a really large, you know. Very large.
Making lots and lots of cookies, like you're saying, for Purim.
Right.
Right, using that much. So then you have to take all your cookies together. And so then how do you have fresh chutzpah? You take a cookie?
Take a cookie. Take a kazayis.
A kazayis. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Great.
And it doesn't matter if some are raw and some are baked?
No. Again, if they're the same min, that doesn't matter. You do tzira for that, that's fine.
So you should take it from the raw one, so you can burn that, or it doesn't make any difference. You could take it from the baked one and burn that too.
Either one.
Yeah. What's the time frame you have to do these different batches? Like a certain time frame to have them all be together?
No, once you get them together, once they're together, right, on the tray or in the freezer, so they're together.
Even if one's from last week and one's from right now?
Right. The only difference in halacha says that if one was from last year's crop of grain and this one's this year's crop of grain. I mean, like, maybe one like last year right after Pesach and now it's been, just sitting in the back of my freezer and all of a sudden I realize I make another one of the same type of stuff. 8 months later, it's probably new grain. So it's 2 different years. If it's 2 different years worth of grain, so then...
Just to clarify, I always make a double batch of a cake. So every time I make a cake, one goes in the freezer, and then another one goes in the freezer the next week, another one goes in the freezer the next week. After, let's say, 4 weeks, I might have 8 cups of flour worth of cake in my freezer that I'll have to do a fresh challah without a bracha.
Correct. Right. So in case, I think when they're in separate bags, and you want to keep them distinct and separate.
In an aluminum pan with tin foil on top.
So I think you want to keep them distinct and separate. So then it's not mitzvah. The only case is when you don't mind interchanging them and mixing them. The cookies, So I made 300 chocolate chip cookies. So the cookies are cookies, But this is a white cake and this is a chocolate cake.
Really?
But it's the same cake we can eat. They're all the same thing again and again and again. So then yes, but in most cases, scenario that's not true. The bag issue. So if they're arguing that the refrigerator counts as a kli, so if either of you have this separate kelim, it's in one big kli. It's mitzvah. I'm not convinced that that's true, but I just did not do it. But since the Rav Moshe Shternberg is one of the Gedolei HaDor, he raises it as a question. That's why I would say if you really have that scenario, it's worthwhile to address it. Definitely without a bracha.
You're also saying the
word
species, the different five species, like wheat and
spelt
don't go together. What does that mean when you say they don't?
Say, so if you made, so in a case where I made a spelt cake and I made a wheat cake, so
that
they're not
going to be mixed up. So that you don't put together.
Right, that would not be mixed up. Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.